Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Mysterium Bible Truth. Today is the 14th of November, 2021. I'm assuming you can hear me well, and whoever is recording has turned the recorder on. As Ron pointed out in his study, Barney has passed the baton to me this weekend. He is tied up with family in Flagstaff, and so while listening, he asked me to step in, so always happy to do so. Thank you. And we'll get started here immediately. Let me go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. We appreciate, Lord, that you have blessed us in so many ways. You have shown us grace when we don't deserve it. Christ loved us when we were yet sinners, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for our families, thankful for the protection that we have from disease and in these difficult times in a world that doesn't seem to be very merciful and very graceful. We have that from you. We're thankful. And so, Lord, we just ask for wisdom and that the words that I speak are your words, not mine. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So, topic today is one that I feel appropriate. And truth be told, I did this study with some minor differences about 13 years ago, 2008, when the economy was really bad. We had had a very difficult election like we've just had now. And people are kind of on edge, let me put it that way. There seems to be a lot of anxiety out there. And therefore, this study on the word happy and or blessed, as the case is. And so the question I asked at that point in time, and I ask again because I see that, like we see in history, about every 10 years things repeat themselves. The question was, what is happiness, and what do we have to be happy about? I was actually asked that question by an individual recently, and that's why I thought, you know, maybe time to do this again. So my observation is that in a world that is continually focusing on the bad things in life, like death, destruction, disease, disaster, dishonesty, deception, disillusionment, depression, divorce, a lot of D words there, anxiety, fear, crisis, calamity, pain, treachery, war, and obviously an economy that is in flux and we don't even know what tomorrow will bring. It just seems that happiness and joy are missing in many people's lives. I see the color black more often than I've seen in a long time. The events of the world are just sucking the smiles from people's faces. That's disheartening for me because I work in an industry that provides smiles to people, individuals who have lost their teeth. We provide new roots that teeth can be mounted on and a person can have their smile back and hopefully, therefore, their life back. But having teeth doesn't make people happy. Might give them a smile, but it doesn't make them happy. So what do we do or what do we have to do to turn those frowns upside down, as the saying goes? How can we gain a new perspective and keep it not just to smile through the pain, but actually feel better about our lives and maybe even bring joy, not into just our lives, but into the lives of those around us that we touch? Not that we touch everyone with a hug or a pat on the back, but those who see us, even though we may not know that they see us, they're watching us, and as they watch, they wonder, how come we're so happy? What is the joy that is in that person? How can they be so joyful in this time? And how can they get some of that happiness instead of trying to bring us down to their level of pain and misery? And I'm sure that all of you, I'm not the only one that has had someone who was so miserable, so bitter, that hated us because we smiled, hated us because we came in the morning and said good morning, And their response was always, what's so good about it? Because misery loves company, they want to bring us down to their level. Well, we know that in Christ, we can find great joy because we don't fear death. And that's what these bitter people have. That's all they have to look forward to. So let's start with looking at the word happy and happiness. And we'll do so in Genesis. The first occurrence is Genesis 30:13. And Leah, who was the first wife of Isaac, says, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. I'm sorry, I said Isaac, I meant Jacob. Call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. The word Asher in the Hebrew is Osher, and it means happiness or happy. And we see this word used several times, and or we see several variations of this word used, and they all pretty much mean the same, joy, happiness, to be happy, to be blessed. And so in Deuteronomy 33:29, it says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the hand, upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, Israel, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. All right, this is about Israel. This is not about you and I. This is not about the church of the body of Christ. This is not about people, therefore, in most of the Paul's writing of the New Testament, his prison epistles. It is talking about Israel and the fact that God is their refuge. Can we say that today? Hold that thought. We'll come back. Can we say that he's our shield? Hold that thought. I personally believe that we do, in fact, have a hedge around us. I believe that while we still have sickness and death that touches us, in many cases, the Lord has preserved us. And as long as we are walking worthy of him, if we deny him, he will deny us. But as long as we're walking worthy of him in step, we have a protection. In 1 Kings 10:8, it says, happy are thy men, happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. You know, wouldn't it be great if we could say that about ourselves? Wouldn't it be great that the leaders that we have are that God would be happy with them, that we as leaders would be happy of our servants, and our servants would be happy with our leadership, our direction, our guidance, because we emulate what they want, which is joy, happiness. We live in a country that says that we have the right to pursue happiness. And yet, you don't see the happiness in you any longer. And it's because our rights are being taken away one by one. The word happy here is the word happiness. It means also blessed, and so we see that those two words are used interchangeably. It is not from the same Greek word that we saw above, but it is Esher, very close to Asher. And if you look at the Hebrew numerics, it is 833, 835, and 837. So we just see that we have different variations of that word based on gender, based on the context. Let's move on to Job. Now, let's think about the context of Job. Job had everything taken away from him and didn't know why. He didn't know that Satan had been roaming back and forth across the earth looking for men to torment. And God said, "Where you been?" And he said, "I've been walking to and fro." And God said, "Have you considered my faithful, righteous servant, Job?" And Satan said, "Yeah, well, let me touch him, and he won't be so faithful." And God said, "Touch him, but don't take his life." And he continually takes everything away, his children, his lands, his health, and his cattle. Everything is taken away from him, and yet Job remained faithful. And here we have in Job 5:17, "Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects." Interesting. Correction, chastisement, rebuke, however you want to define that. It says, "Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction that it, when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth, for thou shalt be in league with stones of the field. And the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee, and thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seeds shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his seed. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is, hear it, and know it for thy good." All right, this is Old Testament, maybe the oldest book written in the Bible. No, Genesis was not the first book. So this isn't about us today. I get that. But look at what Job is saying in spite of the pain and misery and loss in his life. He said, "Happy is the man that God corrects. Happy is the man that God chastises." So when we are living a perfect life, are we walking with God and that's why? Or when God corrects us and tests us and tries us and brings tribulation in our life, that's when we should be happy, because we know that God is standing there watching over us and watching how will we respond. And Paul says it, and we'll get to it, but that, you know, he rejoiced in tribulation. Why? Because he was being tested and he knew it. And why was he being tested? To see how he would respond. Would he continue to be righteous as Job was? Would he therefore receive the reward as a result of coming through the fire? In Psalms 127, 3 through 5, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Now, for those of you who have kids, are you happy with them all the time? If you have multiple children, have all of them brought you joy, or has there been some sorrow? And through that sorrow, has that helped you to love them more? I don't know a mother that doesn't mourn when their children suffer, whether it be a cut or a scratch, whether it be something else that's more dramatic in their life. And so as you look at this verse and say, you know, happy because our quiver is full, to have multiple children. One of our sons, Drew, has 5 kids. And I'm thinking, you know, what a challenging life he has just trying to feed them You know, I mean, there's seven in the household, and when friends come over, you know, it's 9, 10. And how do you just have enough hands to do that with? And yet they are always happy, and there is always joy in that household. And it is so so fulfilling to watch how they bring joy to those around them. Psalms 128, 2 through 4 says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall be the man be blessed by, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." So having children is an opportunity to show reverence to the Lord, but given that we have these children, they bring joy. I mean, who can walk into a room of small children playing and laughing, and while there is noise and commotion and confusion and things are getting broken, they're just having fun. Turn them loose outside and they tear things up, but they're just having fun. How can you not be happy with that? Psalms 144, happy is that 144:15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Said another way, unhappy are those people who don't know the Lord. Unhappy are people who don't fear God, don't reverence Him, don't know that they have life because He sent His Son. But we have that joy. Shouldn't we show that joy to others because we reverence the Lord? 146:5, Psalms 146:5, happy that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now you're saying to yourself, well, that doesn't apply to us because it's the God of Jacob. Well, he is the God of Jacob. It's true. He's the God of Abraham. He's the God of Adam. He's the God of creation. So he is our God, and we have hope in him. We have an eternal hope. Not everybody has that. We should show that every day, that we can take joy in the Lord, for we have a hope. There are so many people without hope. There are so many people that see the light at the end of the tunnel and are afraid that it is an oncoming locomotive. And they see the negative. They don't see the joy. They don't see the happiness. Let's move to Proverbs. Proverbs 8:34 and 35. Blessed or happy is the man that heareth me, watcheth daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For so, whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Whoso findeth me findeth life. Now, do we find him or does he find us? Do we choose him or does he choose us? He chooses us. And for those of us that are part of the body of Christ, he chose us before the foundation. Do you realize how amazing that is? Before the foundation, before this current creation, before the fall, we were chosen. We were chosen before Adam. We were chosen before Abraham. We were chosen before Moses, Isaac, Jacob, etc., 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 David, Solomon. All of those, we were chosen before him. If you don't find joy in that, I mean, think about it. We are truly the first round draft picks. Now, who doesn't get excited about that? In sports, a first-round draft choice gets an incredible payout, signing bonus, etc. We have spiritual blessings. We have an inheritance in heavenly places. What's not to joy about that? Doesn't matter what's in your 401k today. Doesn't matter what happens to it tomorrow. We have the promise of an inheritance in heavenly places. That's something to get excited about. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. I did a study one time on three words, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And which one comes first? Which one comes second? And which one comes third? In this rendering, we have wisdom that comes, that then begets or gets understanding. And so I believe that possibly the order is knowledge, then wisdom, and then understanding. But couldn't it also be said that we get knowledge, we get understanding, and as a result, we are known for wisdom? However you want to look at it. But happy is the man that findeth wisdom. What is wisdom? What makes up wisdom? Well, I believe it's knowledge and understanding. Where did that knowledge and understanding? From his word. And how do we get it? Well, by hearing. And that's where faith comes in. And so you see how they all come together. So let's move to the New Testament. Let's take a look at the word happy there. Interesting, an occurrence is in Acts 26. It is a non-believer that's talking to Paul. It's King Agrippa. And in verses 1 and 2 of Acts 26, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Why was Paul happy? Paul was imprisoned. Paul was accused of blasphemy, which could be unto death. And yet, because he gets a chance to answer, and what did he mean by answer? He had a chance to witness to King Agrippa. And after he's done, you know, he says, I think you want to make me a Christian. Well, wouldn't that be the greatest response we hear from people after we witnessed it about the hope that is within us? The word happy here means supremely blessed. It means fortunate, well off. It's translated both blessed and happy in different places. Let's go to towards the end of the New Testament, James 5:11. It says, behold, we count them happy which endure. The word endure is the word patience. It means the same. It means that they've gone through tribulation, yet they've endured. Happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The Lord had mercy on Job in the end. He allowed Satan to touch him. He had boils. He had scales. He reeked. He was losing his teeth. Interesting, because unless he was miraculously given a third set of teeth, you know, we have one set we lose when we're kids, and then we get a second set. If we take care of them, they last us the rest of our life. If not, you know what, we're indentures, or we're gumming our food or drinking smoothies. But Job had mercy from the Lord, and his life, we are told, he has children again. Interesting, we assume from the same wife, because we never are told that of her demise, but she said, curse God and die. And yet God showed mercy to her even, and obviously had more children. So the word here is that same word, and it is just a little change to it. Instead of makarios, it's makarioso. And it means to esteem fortunate, to be blessed, and to count themselves happy. So it's more of a verb. In 1 Peter 3:14-15, it says, and if we suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready also to give an answer. Every man asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Wow. Meekness and fear. It has to do with not fearing what man can you, but reverencing what the Lord has provided you. And he's provided you the reason for your hope. And that is that Christ died for us, sacrificing himself for our sins, that we might have life, that we might have a resurrection through that same power that Christ was resurrected in. What an amazing power that we have available to us. And therefore, doesn't matter about the terror or the trouble that's around us in the world. Those are circumstances. But God has us. He has given us hope to look through that, to look beyond that. 1 Peter 4:13-14, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. The word happy here has to do with jumping for joy. I'm sorry, that's the word joy. Jumping for joy, to exalt, to not only be glad, but to have exceeding joy, rejoicing greatly. I mean, you ever seen a person that was so happy they were jumping up and down? You ever see a kid at Christmas time that was so thrilled he's just running around, just happy as can be? That's the kind of joy we're talking about. And that's the kind of joy that we should show others, regardless of the suffering that we might be within, for Christ's sake. Now, what does that mean, for Christ's sake? Does it mean that we're going to suffer persecution because we say we're Christians? You know, in first century of the world, Christians were, in fact, tortured, burnt at the stake, killed with the sword, beheaded, crucified. They did suffer in that way. How do we suffer today? Well, we may yet suffer like that. Don't know. I doubt it. But anytime there is something that enters our life where we are suffering, whether it be an evil boss or an evil peer that says evil things about you, lies, untruths for their own purposes, for their own building up and edification, where they have to tear us down to make themselves look good, we are suffering for Christ, I believe, because we have the opportunity to witness of Christ at that point in time. We have an opportunity to stand there and smile and take it on the other cheek. And when we do, we are witnessing Christ in that time. Let's take a closer look at the word blessed. We think that blessed means we have lots of material things. We're blessed. Not always so. Mary said that she was blessed because God had blessed her with a child. Blessed of women, so happy as women. But in Psalms 1:1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay, this is Old Testament. I realize that Psalms, it gives us a metaphor of a tree that's planted by the water and forth fruit. We can, in fact, bring forth fruit. We have the water, the everlasting life of water that springs forth from Christ, which is his word. This word, blessed, is again the word Esher in the Hebrew. It means blessed or happy. We understand that staying away from the ungodly isn't the answer here, but not walking with them for long periods of time, because when we do, we get singed by the same fire that they walk within. But we are to be delight in the law. Well, we don't have the law today because we're under grace. But we should be delighting in grace. We should be delighting in the mercy that was shown to us. Psalm 32:2 says, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." We have no iniquity imputed against us. There is no ashamedness because we have known who we have believed, and that is Christ. And because of his life, death, and resurrection, we are, in fact, blessed. We are happy. 34:8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth or seeks refuge in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Now, that promise is not for us. There are a lot of people out there that are homeless and suffering, and they might be Christians. They may have fallen away for a time and hopefully will be brought back to the Lord. And we have that opportunity to witness to them that they may see in us that joy and want to come back to the Lord. Psalms 84:5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them." Wow. Okay, it's not the law written on tablets of stone, but it's the ways of the Lord, the word that is written on their heart, and therefore can never be taken from them. Psalm 94:12-14, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord." That's what Job said. "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teach him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest for the day of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. The Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance." We are his inheritance. It's not just Israel. We have an inheritance in heavenly places. We have the opportunity to reign with him if we suffer with him. The word adversity here has to do with affliction, calamity, distress. And that is exactly what this world is bringing us today. You know, we're not at a time of, pure rejoicing. Everything is not turning up roses. In fact, there's a lot of pain in the world. But that doesn't mean that we have to be caught up in the pain. We should be caught up in the hope and in the joy of the Lord. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." So here again, trusting brings us that joy. Trusting that the Lord knows our pain, and he is a loving, kind, and gracious God. Matthew 11:6, and we're going to take a look at just a couple more verses here. Matthew 11:6, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." So this is Christ saying, don't be offended by me. There is a lot of people that feared for their lives, even the disciples themselves. When the Lord was taken captive, all of the disciples scattered, even Peter. Peter who said, "I will never forsake thee, Lord. I will stand by thee. I will defend thee." And Christ said, "You'll deny me 3 times. And he did. And he fled so that he wouldn't be captured. But he still followed after the Lord. And we know that he repented and that he continued to follow after the Lord. And that he was not ashamed, he was not offended, but that he continued to witness. Romans 4:7 saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." I don't know about you, but that's where I stand. Totally blessed, happy that my sins have been forgiven. Happy that the little stupid things that I do and say every day, my wife forgives, but more importantly, the Lord forgives. Every time I step on the dog's toes, you know, she just wags her tail And she's just happy as can be that I would say I'm sorry and pet her. And we are forgiven immediately. If only we could be like dogs. Cats, not so much. I don't think they ever forgive. They hold a grudge forever. But dogs forgive immediately. And that's the way we should be of others, because we were first forgiven by Christ. Even when we were dead in our sins, Christ loved us and died for us. There's a book called The Happiness Advantage. And I referenced this before. It's by an author by the name of Sean Aker. He spent 20 years at Harvard studying happiness. Okay, I don't think it takes 20 years to figure it out. We've just spent, 40 minutes at most, and hopefully you have enough right there. Had he gone to the Word, he would have figured it out. But what his conclusion was is that happiness doesn't come because we're successful, but instead, success comes because we're happy. That's it. That's his conclusion. Took him 20 years to figure that one out. It's in the Word. We don't need to study the word happiness. We can just turn to the Word and see that happiness, that blessed life, comes from knowing that we will not see death, the eternal death, but instead we have hope. But the author says there's a couple of things that we can do, five ways to bring more happiness into our life. And the first and foremost is gratitude. And he says, three gratitudes. Say aloud three things you are thankful for every morning and every night. I've heard this multiple times that if we wake up in the morning and the first thing we do is to remind ourselves what we're grateful for, that our day starts a little happier. Our day starts a little bit better. We've got a little bit of joy in our step as we walk. But to do so in the morning and again at night. Then there's the doubler. The doubler is writing down an accomplishment or success that you had each day. Now, the reason you write it down is that the success is one, but if you write it down, it doubles the effect. And I know a lot of people that keep journals, and that's a great idea, but write down what we're happy for, what we are successful in on a daily basis. The third thing is the fun 15. The fun 15 are to write 15 things you like doing. And do one of those 15 things every day for 15 minutes. It might be playing the piano. It might be working in your garden. It might be cooking. It might be reading the Word. In fact, number four is meditation. Take 15 to 20 minutes a day to spend time thinking of something that brings us joy, like the Word. Because we just learned that happiness comes through His Word. The fifth thing, the last of five, is a conscious act of kindness. Do something nice for someone else. Maybe it's just an affirmation. Maybe it's just telling them how they look. I was told one time that if you can't think of anything else, don't say anything, but instead say, "I like your shoes." Don't know why people get a kick out of that, but every time I've told someone, "Cool shoes," they're like, "Yeah, I love these. They're so fun." And it brings joy to them. So think of something that you can do to make them happy. So in summary, 24 points that I've given you, 24 different references, and I don't know that Tony will post all of them all at once or one at a time. But number one, people saved by God, they have a shield of help. "These thy servants which stand continually before thee, that they shall hear thy wisdom." That was spoken of David and Solomon. "The man who God corrects brings happiness. The man that hath his quiver full of them," meaning children. "He that feareth the Lord, whose God is the Lord. The man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. The man that I answer for myself. The man that endures. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Those that are partakers of Christ's sufferings, the Spirit of God and of God resteth upon them. The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. The man that in his law or word meditates day and night. The man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in those whose spirit there is no guile. The man that trusteth or seeketh refuge in him. The man whose strength is in thee. The man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him. The man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Whosoever shall not be offended by him. They whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And finally, the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And because of that, we have life. We have everlasting life, and that's a promise. Let me close with just a couple of verses in Philippians, and it's not just the word happy we're going to look at, but it brings happiness. Philippians 3, if you look at the word Philippians, I believe there's multiple references of the word rejoice, more so than any other book of Paul, more so than any other book in the Bible. It says in verse 3:3, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Think about that. We're not worried about the material things of the world, but we worship God in the Spirit, and we rejoice in Christ. Just knowing Him, we should be rejoiced. The word here is the word chero, and it means to cheer or calmly be happy, well off. To be glad, to be well. It's sometimes used as a greeting or as a salutation, as in Godspeed. It means joy. It means to rejoice. And in Philippians 4:4 through 4:9, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful," or be anxious, "for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ," through Christ Jesus. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me," Paul, "do, and the peace of God shall be with you." I started this study by talking about the depression, the destruction, the disasters, the anxiety, all of the treachery of the world. And instead, Paul admonishes us and says, look, don't be anxious. Instead, be thankful, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts. The peace of God will be with you if we think of those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, and of praise. If we focus on those things, how could our mind possibly go to the calamities of the world? Focus on the good news. Focus on those things that bring us joy, not those things that are dark. That's where those who don't know the Lord, who don't fear the Lord, don't reverence Him, that's where they put their minds. Let's put our minds on things above. Let's put our things on those things that bring us joy and happiness. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can help others to find joy in these difficult times. Help those who are unhappy right now find happiness. For those who are suffering to find peace and joy, knowing that they have eternal life. And in that we find peace. There's no more struggling in this world, for we know our end. And we will be with Him in the heaven above heavens. We are thankful, Lord, for your love, for your kindness, and for your word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.